They're quavering in Durham even now. Listen, Tom Rapp has been called a legend. He's also sometimes been taken for dead. In the late 1960s and early 70s, Mr. Rapp fronted a band called Pearls Before Swine that sold hundreds of thousands of records. Then he seemed to almost disappear. In fact, he became a lawyer, a civil rights lawyer, and now he's playing music again. From member station WHYY, Peter Clowney has this profile.
Tom Rapp declined an invitation to perform at Woodstock and lived not to regret it.
I've had, like, headhunters, you know, they're calling. They call everybody who's in the legal directory. And I always have to tell them, I am so happy.
Rapp does what he calls 60s law. He uses anti-discrimination and civil rights laws to help individuals fight corporations and local governments. But he's not the guy on his feet in the courtroom, exhorting the jury. He writes the briefs judges, lawyers, and the public will read. Rapp's passionate about these words he writes and reads from a case defending an HIV-positive lawyer's right to keep his job.
His position was great solace to him in the face of a diagnosis of AIDS which could have crippled his spirit without that support. In a civilized community, it is an intolerable wrong to abandon the sick and put them out to die. The acts of the company imposed on
him. Where have you been to? Where did you go? Did you follow the summer out when the winter pushed its face in the snow? Or have you come by again to die again? Well, try again another time.
34 years ago, Tom Rapp was just a redheaded teenager in Florida recording a demo tape with his friends. That tape grew into an LP, Pearls Before Swine's One Nation Underground.
Along the cold and gross canal, the gray wall dwarf leaps high.
The record came out on ESP, a label that also released records by experimental jazz musicians Sun Ra and Albert Eiler. Tortured images from Hieronymus Bosch provided the cover art for One Nation Underground. Rapp's softly strange lyrics pulled from medieval love poetry and from Morse code, a little game that almost got DJ Murray the K thrown off New York radio.
Oh dear, Miss Morse, I want you. Oh yes, I do. I want you.
Beyond spelling curse words in code, One Nation Underground also included songs about dwarves, amber ladies, and crystal swans. The album sold 100,000 copies. Pearls Before Swine made a second record for ESP. Many fans cite these first two albums as the band's best. But Rapp's own favorite record is his eighth.
When my father went to space, I woke up one morning and he was gone.
Star Dancer's title song tells of a boy whose father is an astronaut.
And his ship fell into the atmosphere and became a falling star that the sun was able to wish on. And that's, I had a lot of trouble with my father in real life. He had a very bad alcohol problem. Lost his business and started not being able to hold jobs, and he started to become really more and more violent and unhappy himself. And I wrote the song. I did not know at the time, but it was about him. And people would say, gee, is that about your father? And no, I mean, come on, get a life. But it really was.
For a man who needs a place where he can see a star, the open land above the air is where the answers are.
My father died about a week before the Challenger exploded, and one of the NPR stations in New York used Star Dancer as the backdrop, musical backdrop, for as part of their report on it, and I, you know, that was a week after my father died, and I thought that was a little eerie.
A tongue of fire in the air when a star falls home to die.
By Stardancer, Tom Rapp was recording for bigger labels, but each new record sold less. And Rapp says he never made any royalties from any of his albums, nothing beyond what he describes as food money. So one day, he confronted his manager.
I lived in Woodstock at that time, so I took a bus down to New York City. And I went to his office, and he said, I gotta leave, but here's all your stuff. And he gave me this big, big manila envelope thing, all covered with duct tape. So I took it back to Woodstock, and I cut it open, and there it was full of old newspapers. And I began to think something was very wrong.
The guy skipped town. Rapp hung in long enough to open a 1974 concert for Patti Smith. Then he just quit. He started hawking popcorn in the Harvard Square movie theater in Boston to kids who asked him, "Aren't you that guy from that band?"
The past is broken.
Fast forward to 1992. The British magazine Ptolemaic Terrascope tracks Tom Rapp down in Philadelphia, 8 years into his new career as a civil rights lawyer. That article leads to a flood of fan mail and more articles.
They call me a psychedelic godfather, and they have these articles about how I'm a legend. And the way that works is you do some albums in the 60s that are okay, you go away for 30 years, and you don't die, and then you're a legend.
In 1997, Rapp was invited to play at the Tarastock Music Festival in Rhode Island. One of the headliners was the band Damon and Naomi, an offshoot of Galaxy 500. Damon Krukowski and Naomi Yang say they'd admired Tom Rapp's records since they were kids.
You never think that person in the photograph who, you know, you've looked at the photograph for years, and it's from the 60s, you never think they're just going to be standing next to you one day. It was an utter shock. And it makes you really, like, think, oh, the 60s really did happen.
Well, Tom says this is how every real hootenanny ended in the 60s. So we felt obliged to try and recreate the experience.
Damon and Naomi and Tom Rapp have performed together in New York and Boston, and most recently in Philadelphia. The couple invited Rapp to record an album, his first in 25 years, at their home studio.
I think this is his first taste of lo-fi home recording techniques.
He's very energetic, too. He's constantly coming up with things. He's, hey, you know, what if we did, you know, and he names something just crazy, and then you're sort of like, well, Tom, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't have a mic spinning in the center of the room with everyone playing acoustic guitar at the same time against the walls. We can't do it. You know?
They did manage to put together a record called A Journal of the Plague Year.
He's one of the best lyricists that rock or folk has ever had. And I think his new songs are very much of a piece with all his work. They're imagistic, but they're not surrealistic. They're actually very, very rooted in plain-speaking emotional truth.
I wish that you had called out louder, or we had listened more. Now you're lost inside the silence that is lost inside the ocean's roar. Fare thee well.
With this song about Kurt Cobain's suicide and 11 others, Tom Rapp's become semi-famous all over again. The British magazine Mojo just listed him as a cult hero. That delighted Rapp, except Mojo also called him a Wall Street lawyer. Rapp wrote the magazine, saying no, he doesn't spend his weekends adding gold trim to his yacht. He still spends most of his time writing legal briefs. Even his resuscitated music career takes a back seat.
There are two different offers to do a tour of Japan, but you know, I have real obligations to real people in these cases, and I just don't have the time to, you know, gallivant.
This is part of Rapp's appeal to young musicians, a risk-taking anti-consumerist musician who grew up with the rest of the boomers, but who's kept right on feeling alienated, bent on subverting illegitimate power. Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth is one of those next-generation players who recently discovered Rapp, who finds his music a refreshing antidote to the corporate rock of the past two decades.
Tom Rapp, yeah, became somebody that you can look to as genuine and progressive, really interesting. And I was like, oh my God, you know, how come all through the 80s, like, this wasn't something that anybody was talking about. I mean, nobody was talking about it.
In 1997, 18 bands, most of whose players were in diapers when Pearls Before Swine made its first album, recorded a tribute CD to rap. When these bands come through Philadelphia, they often stay with Tom Rapp and his wife. The questions they've asked spurred Rapp to create a list, his lessons from the 60s.
If you were being really dark, you'd say, well, one of the lessons of the 60s is that assassination works. And it does. All the B people came up after the A people were dead. But the lessons of the 60s, I feel, are that love is real, justice is real. Countries have no morals. You have to kick them to get them to do the right thing. That honesty is possible and necessary, and everything is not for sale.
Tom Rapp asked that his final word on the radio would not be about music, but about the issue to which he's devoted the last 15 years. This is a message for folks who think they've been fired unjustly.
I know you can't find an attorney because it costs money and you just got fired, and so you don't have any money. Tell an attorney that under the laws, the discrimination laws, they can get their attorney fees paid by the defense when you win. And that will, may get the attorney's attention. So please do that. Thank you. This has been a public service announcement.
Tom Rapp's not the only musician who's taken this path. Barry Melton, former guitarist of Country Joe and the Fish, is now public defender, Yolo County, California. But that's another story. For NPR News, I'm Peter Clowney in Philadelphia. Of this place.